Great to have you with us on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. Well, the award-winning TV special Deer Hunt Wisconsin starts to air this week, and we're talking to host Dan Small about the show and about this year's hunt. And let me tell you, you probably know Dan. He's been the host and producer of Outdoor Wisconsin since its premiere. He also hosts and produces a weekly radio show called Outdoors Radio with Dan Small, and of course the annual Deer Hunt Wisconsin specials. So as we talk with him, I hope you'll join in. What questions do you have about this year's hunt? Love to hear from you. Give us a call. The number's 800-642-1234, or you could send an email to ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. Dan Small, welcome back. Good to have you with us.
Well, Larry, it's always great to talk to you, and it's good to be talking about deer once again.
Yeah, it is indeed, and the gun deer season starts November 19th. What are you looking forward to during this gun hunt season?
Well, personally, it's a chance for me to spend some more time with my son and a couple of his friends and a couple of my friends in the woods doing nothing but deer hunting for 2 or 3 days. We hunt opening weekend up on John's property in Bayfield County, property that has been in our family for as long as he's been alive, almost 50 years. And I've hunted it almost every year, and now that he's moved back to Bayfield, we get up there a number of times and a year, and I'm really looking forward to deer season. So it's time for me to be with friends, family, and also alone in the woods, and I think a lot of hunters understand that.
I think you've pretty much outlined what the average deer hunter in Wisconsin looks forward to for the gun season.
Yeah. Yeah.
pretty sure of that. Well, you know, Deer Hunt Wisconsin, maybe give us a little history of that. I mean, it's been going on for a long time.
Yeah, we started in 1991. It was a live show the first year. It was produced in studio at Milwaukee PBS, and it was simulcast with Wisconsin Public Television, which is now PBS Wisconsin. And it was set up kind of like a pledge break show, as viewers of public TV might be familiar with that format. We had some recorded segments about deer management and populations and hunting ideas. And then we had biologists in the studio that I talked to. And we had in the phone banks, where people are usually taking calls for pledges, we had biologists, wardens, staff from DNR, and they were there to answer live questions from viewers. And back in those days, there was no internet. There was a new, I don't even remember what the details were, but there was a new regulation that had something to do with doe permits. And once they put the phone number on the screen, the phones lit up, Larry, and for the next hour, they never stopped. That show was the highest rated show on Milwaukee PBS for the whole month of November, beating out National Geographic and other and Nature and other shows, because hunters wanted that information. And we, an hour after the show was over, we walked around and took all the phones off the hook because people were still calling. So the folks who might remember that far back to 91, that's what the first show was like. And since then, it has evolved. I now own it and produce it with Mark LaBarbera, and we have a videographer, Dave Roll, who's up in the New Auburn area, who does all of our shooting and our editing, and we get footage from a few other folks who have high-quality cameras and access to property with lots of deer. Jim Tostrud, the wildlife artist, is on the he's not personally on the show, but he contributed some footage of big bucks and deer doing deer things, a couple of buck fights on there, I think.
Yeah.
Now we actually offer the show on Bally Sports Wisconsin and Bally Sports North, and Milwaukee PBS, and we can get into this if you want, but Wisconsin Public Television, or PBS Wisconsin, is not going to air the show this year. And there are some backstory issues that I won't go into, really, but it was basically our fault getting it to them late, and there was an approval question, and they decided, you know, we have to get our schedule up. We have to change it if we don't have this show approved. And they changed the schedule, and so they will not air it. But it will be on all those other venues and dozens of community media stations around the state starting later this week and on our YouTube channel. We have a Deer Hunt Wisconsin YouTube channel. And we will post, we haven't done it yet, but we will post the entire show there so people can still watch it. And I will have details on my Facebook page and on the Deer Hunt Wisconsin Facebook page. So that's kind of a quick synopsis of where we've been and where we are right now.
And the airings will be at several times. And we're also posting that up on the Larry Mueller Show page. Ideas at WPR.org/Larry if you want to get information on the when, the times, and so forth, and the wheres. You can go there to find those. And you start, you know, you had a pretty successful season last year, your group. And that is a bit in the video.
Yeah, we decided, as we do every year, Dave Roll hunts with us, and now has for the last 4 or 5 years, brings his camera along, of course, and we get footage of whatever happens up there in during the gun season, in snow usually, and so we have some actual snow hunting scenes. And it was the opening weekend Sunday that both Dave and my son John each shot a modest buck. They weren't big deer, but they were respectable deer. And so we took advantage of that and did a little story for and let them tell their story. I never shot a deer last year, but I was there. And, you know, that's all part of the hunt. When you have six hunters out in the field, as you know, one or two people might get a deer and the rest of them just have a relaxing time of it.
And, you know, your special, Deer Hunt Wisconsin special, I really liked the relationship that you featured between a young hunter named Sydney and her mentor, Monica. Mentors are important for young hunters.
They are critical. And, of course, many hunters of our generation, you and I are about the same age.
Yeah.
We had parents or uncles or older brothers or somebody to take us hunting. And a lot of young people today do not have that family history of hunting. And so mentors are so important. And Monica Spaney, whom you probably know, at least you know who she is.
Yeah,
she's
the
founder of Accessibility Wisconsin, a very vibrant woman who was injured in a skiing accident 20-some years ago and took up hunting after that accident. And she's confined to a wheelchair, and confined is the wrong word. She has an action track chair, and you got to run to keep up with this gal out in the woods. I mean, we have been out hunting with her a number of times, and she is a hunter ed instructor and a mentor, and she mentors this young 11-year-old now, Sydney Gradle, who went gun hunting last year, and this year it's a crossbow hunt, and I'll let people watch it and find out what happens.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, hunting has become more accessible to people with disabilities. Monica is a perfect example.
Yes, and she has actually she is actively lobbying for a liberalization of the laws that allow people with mobility issues an extra hunting period. I guess I'll say there's I think they call it the disabled hunt, and it's held for a few days in October. But she would like to have that made statewide. And actually, I think Tim Isley wrote about it in the recent issue of Outdoor News. It makes sense what she's asking for, and I hope that it happens.
Somebody's wondering, how do you become a hunter mentor?
Well, if you go to the DNR website and click on or type in Learn to Hunt, there is information on that page on how to become a mentor and how to set up a Learn to Hunt class or group. You don't have to have a group to be a mentor. You just, go one-on-one with someone. There are rules for mentors. You have to be 18 or older, and I believe you have to have a certain number of years of hunting experience. And if you're in a learn to hunt situation, I believe there's a questionnaire that you have to fill out. You have to pass basically. I can't think of the term for it now, but
maybe the hunter safety.
No. It's you have to be a good guy or a
okay.
good gal.
Okay.
Yeah. So whatever that what it is. Yeah. I can't think of the term.
I know what you're talking about. Cam emailed us. Ken, he wants you to speak to the current situation with CWD in Wisconsin, to what you know, and including testing and carcass disposal options.
Yeah, okay. And right up front, I'll say we did not cover that this year on the show. We have featured it just about every year for the last 20 years since CWD was discovered. We did mention that there are certain areas of the state where hunters are encouraged to have their deer tested for CWD. The situation as I know it, and I am not a biologist, Jeff Pritzel would be the guy to talk to, who's the deer specialist for the state. And by the way, he was on the morning show with Kate Archer Kent a day or two ago. I think it was Monday.
Yeah.
And that I know is on your website, so people could listen to that. But CWD is prevalent in some areas of the state, Iowa County, Dane County, Sauk County, parts of most of Richland County, parts of Vernon County where I live. I know people who've had the last three deer they've shot all tested positive. We've tested all of our deer, never had one positive yet, but, we hope that continues. There are kiosks around the state, and the locations of those are on the DNR website, where people can take a deer head and fill out the paperwork, put the head in a bag, drop it in the kiosk, and you will get an email letting you know whether your deer had CWD or whether it was not detected. They never say it doesn't have it. They just say not detected, which means it wasn't in those lymph nodes that they extract from the deer's throat to get the sample. Then people are encouraged to dispose of carcasses in the dumpsters that are located around the state, and there are more of them concentrated here in the southwest and the south central area where there are more cases of CWD. Those locations are on the website as well, and I can't speak to what the DNR policy is toward CWD. I know they would like to see it reduced, but I can't say what they are doing now that that is any different from what they've done in recent years. I know they concentrate testing or encourage hunters in certain areas to have their deer tested if a new positive has been detected. But, that would all be on the DNR website.
Dan Small, our guest today, host and producer of the television show Outdoor Wisconsin and Outdoors Radio with Dan Small, talking with him about this year's Deer Hunt Wisconsin special, which features a lot of things. And we'll talk about some more of those items that are part of the video with him. You can join in at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or email us to ideas@wpr.org. Clara Neipert, our producer today, Tyler Dinner's our engineer. I'm Larry Mueller for the Ideas Network. Great to have you with us on the Ideas Network as we take a look at the 2022 deer hunt season. The gun season opens on November 19th. Dan Small has once again produced a video, Deer Hunt Wisconsin. It's a special. It's going to be airing on a lot of stations, including Bally Sports Wisconsin and Bally Sports North, and also the Milwaukee PBS flagship channel, among other places. You can join in with your questions at 1-800-642-1234, or you could email us to ideas@wpr.org. Tom in Spencer has a question for you, Dan. Let's go there. Hi, Tom.
Hi, guys. This is kind of off the subject, but I wanted to ask Dan. I know he's a big part of Outdoor Wisconsin, which is one of my favorite magazines, Wisconsin Outdoor News, I'm sorry. And I know that Badger Sportsman just went under this last year. I was just wondering how Wisconsin Outdoor News is doing with the print copies, which is what I like. I'm 66 years old. I like to spread it out on a table and read it rather than read it online. So, Dan, what's the story? Is the magazine still doing okay?
Doing very well. It is one of seven states' issues that Outdoor News produces. The others are, well, don't need to list them, but Wisconsin was the second one after Minnesota. I'm guessing 100,000 to 200,000 readers every issue. If you're still getting it, it is just about the thickest of the of the group. Yeah, it's doing well, and it's not going anywhere. And I've had people – I was editor of that for a number of years, many years ago. And I had DNR people tell me at that time, and even today occasionally, they'd say, you know, we learn about what's going on in our agency by reading your paper because we've got such good reporters there between Dean Bortz and Tim Isley and the others who are the news hounds, what I call the news hounds. They cover everything. And then the rest of us get to write features. I have the fun job of just writing pretty much anything I want. And and sometimes I do. Off the wall is where I'm at these days, I guess.
Tom, thanks for calling. Let's turn to Kathy in Madison. Kathy, hello.
Well, hi. I just like to kind of push gun safety again. Again, you got some 12-year-olds out there just hunting for the first time. And I don't remember, I'm 59, and I don't remember a zero death during gun hunting season. Do you? When is the last time we had zero death? So you got a young one, then keep with an arm's length, please, that you can grab that end of the gun at any moment. They get buck fever, you know. That's where I always place myself, the youngest person, and right next to him, like almost, you know, children.
Yeah. Kathy, thank you very much. A comment, Dan.
Yeah, I agree. Safety is critically important. We have two mentored hunts featured in this year's show, one that we talked about, the crossbow hunt, and another one with a 14-year-old who hunted with his grandfather, and he shot a deer, the likes of which I have never seen in the woods. And the grandpa was the mentor, binoculars only. He didn't carry a rifle. That was during the youth hunt, of course, so he couldn't carry a rifle. It is important, and we wrap the show again this year with the four rules of firearm safety. You know, the Tab K rules, treat every gun as if it's loaded. Always point the muzzle in a safe direction. Be sure of your target and what's beyond it, and keep your finger out of the trigger guard until you're ready to shoot. And if people keep that in mind and think, you know, no deer is worth the risk of injuring somebody or worse, then I think we'll have a safe season. To answer your question about zero death deer hunts, I think we had one or two in the last 20 years, but I think you'd find that information if you did a search on the DNR website, and I can't tell you offhand.
Yeah, I think we have more injuries that might revolve around falling out of a tree or heart attacks than we have people actually being shot. There used to be a larger number of people getting shot, but with the blaze orange or blaze pink colors that hunters now wear. I think a lot of that has it's not as prevalent.
I think you're right, Larry. And yes, I saw a statistic somewhere about tree stand injuries, and it was one hunter in three at some point in his or her career will fall out of a tree stand. I've done it three times.
Yeah, I did it once.
I don't plan to do it again. The last time was last year, believe it or not. I had no business coming down from my son's ladder stand the way I did, and fortunately, I only fell 6 feet, but I landed flat on my back and whacked my head and lay there for a few minutes saying a few words that I can't repeat here. And he's standing there over me looking at me, and I apologized to him. I said, John, I'm sorry you had to see your old man fall out of a tree, but, check me out. Am I okay? And he's a first responder, wilderness-trained first responder. So we did a few things, and he said, yeah, you're good to go. I hurt for weeks. I think I cracked a couple of ribs. So, and I always wear a harness, and I always have a lifeline. But it's a long story about why that didn't happen in this case. But anyway, yes, safety's a big deal.
Teddy in Barnes has something that may relate to safety as well. Teddy, hi.
Hi. Years ago, I was...
Oh, we lost him. Oh, well, Teddy, I'm sorry. I'm sorry we lost you there. The phone line went down, so I guess we have to move on. Bob called. He couldn't stay with us. He's wondering if there's a senior citizen discount for hunting licenses.
Check the website. Yeah. I don't want to comment. I don't know.
I am not sure either, but that DNR website... And I was looking at it myself this morning, and I didn't pay attention to what the to that part of the regulations where it talked about the costs of hunting, because I always get the license every year and I don't think much about it.
I buy the patron license myself. I think you do the same thing.
Yeah, I do the same thing. That handles everything. And we get the magazine as well.
Natural Resources magazine, yeah.
Teddy and Barnes is back. Let's try Teddy again.
Hey, I was just going to comment on mentoring safety.
Yeah.
And years ago, we were hunting, and a really good friend of mine brought one of his friends up. Never hunted before. We were all, adults. And he shot into a drive straight in, and three bullets went by me. I could hear them, that vacuum noise, and then one went right through my arm. So, mentoring is unbelievably important at any age of the hunter. And then I was wondering about albino deer, besides your beauty, what's their importance? Thank you.
Well, importance of albino deer. Not being a biologist, I can't answer that. I think they're fascinating to see. We didn't feature one in this year's show, but we did have one last year, and we're always looking for good video. So if people see albinos or have an interesting deer story or deer hunt that they'd like to share with us, I would simply ask that you turn your phone sideways so that you get a horizontal video or picture and take some pictures. And you can contact me through the Deer Hunt Wisconsin Facebook page, which is simply Deer Hunt WI on Facebook. And, send me a message and I'll get back to you. So, drives were one of the reason, Larry, I think there were more accidents historically.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. Nick in Green Bay, on to you now. Hi, Nick.
Hey, guys. Hopefully it's a safe hunting season. I'm just calling to yell at you guys a little bit. The mentor thing, it's great. I love it. They get to learn to hunt thing where you can go on a guided hunt and they teach you everything. My only complaint to you guys is it's always down south. There's nothing in northeast Wisconsin. It's always like Madison and Milwaukee. So, and Dan, I love you. You're an amazing guy. So,
well, the program's in any comment on that in terms of the programs?
Yeah. Anyone can put together a Learn to Hunt, any sportsman's club or any group. The ones that are that he referenced that are down here in South Central, Southwest, and even the Milwaukee area are organized by groups there. The Wild Turkey Federation chapter that I used to belong to, Ozaukee County, always had a turkey hunt. I've done a couple of Learn to Hunts over here with John Motoviloff when he was with the Turkey Federation. The young fellow who hunts with us has been taking a number of hunter Learn to Hunt programs for archery and crossbow, and he's going to go rabbit hunting later, and these are all pretty much South Central, but it's available. The program is available to anyone who wants to put one on, I guess is what I would say.
Yeah.
If I can go back to that question about licenses, I did have the regs up on my computer, and I'm looking through them now, and there is a junior, well, there's a senior citizen small game license, but not for deer, but there is a provision where if you have not hunted a particular species for the last 10 years, you can buy a license for that activity for, I think it's $5. So
yeah,
it's for first-time buyers and for lapsed buyers, so that it encourages people to get back into it.
Hmm. Kevin in Green Bay, hi.
Hey, guys, I just want to say thanks to Dan. I always look forward to his deer hunting show, and I think him and Mark do a great job. Just speaking on the lady who called about gun safety and also speaking outdoor news, I did a story for them recently. And while I was doing my research, I was super surprised to find out that last year in Wisconsin, when there were 34, you know, tragic ATV deaths, that was more deaths in 1 year than in the past 25 years of deer hunts. So it just goes to show, really, even though one death is too many in hunting, and we want to preach safety, you know, people would never probably think that ATVing is more dangerous than hunting, but it is by far.
Yeah. Kevin, thanks. Yeah. Thanks for calling. Comment, Dan?
Yeah, that's Kevin Nazi for folks who didn't recognize his voice. And he's absolutely right. And I was astounded when I read that story in a recent issue that he wrote. That many ATV and snowmobile deaths, same thing. And water, we won't even get into watercraft injuries, but and most of those deaths are related to speed and alcohol and not wearing helmets, which are all safety concerns. And hunting is a very safe sport. The shooting sports in general are safe. The high school trap and rifle competitions are the safest sports in the interscholastic competition because people are extremely careful with using those potentially deadly weapons. But if you use them safely, they're just a tool in that activity.
Yeah. I want to go back to your latest Deer Hunt Wisconsin video. One of the things that struck me, it was kind of fun to see, you have a segment on habitat improvement and helping attract deer to a property.
Yeah, we worked with Mike Murphy of Whitetail Sanctuary Solutions and a guy named Charlie Ray, who was an independent consultant, who was actually consulting with my son John on buckthorn removal on our property up north. And we talked to both of them. We spent a day in the field up there on the property with Mike, showing John where he could put water hole, for instance, and where food plots might attract and hold deer. And Charlie showed him, you know, how to control the buckthorn. And actually, John and his friend Alex Blaine spent a good part of last winter after the deer season cutting and treating buckthorn. And when I was up there during turkey season, I mean, I could see the results. So we will see, we will shoot some of that after the fact footage this year while we're up there during deer season, and maybe do something with it on next year's show. But yeah, habitat improvement can go a long ways toward attracting and holding deer.
And one of the things that I found interesting, and I'm sure a lot of people would who have property with buckthorn issues, is the USDA's Environmental Quality Incentive Program, or EQIP.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, just maybe talk a bit, a little about that, Dan, and it's certainly featured in your video.
It is, and it is one of a number of USDA programs that that have acronyms. We here on our little farm got some funding from another program to put up fencing, permanent fencing for livestock, and high tunnel hoop house, which is a fancy word for a, you know, freestanding greenhouse. But what John is doing up there, and I don't know the details of the grant because he's the one who got it, but they are controlling buckthorn. So he got some funding for a consultant to come in and to tell him what he suggests, what he ought to do, and then for the materials and the actual work required to cut and treat buckthorn, and there's probably more beyond that. And all of those are on the USDA website if you simply go and look for, I don't know what the search word would be, but if you just type in EQIP, and it's EQIP without the U, it's E-Q-I-P, you'll get that program. And it's open to landowners who want to do habitat improvement.
Another feature in your video this year, which I liked, is the Fallen Outdoors deer hunt, community of veterans. Maybe just describe that a little bit.
Yes, it's apparently a nationwide program, and there's a Wisconsin chapter, and we had two gentlemen who are members of that chapter on to talk about the benefits to veterans of an organization that does things that go beyond what, let's say, the veterans, the VA, might do, and gets them out in the field and allows them to, encourages them to develop the friendships and the camaraderie that they might have experienced in the military. But many of them are, they feel isolated when they come back. And as one fellow says, you know, it can be a lifesaver. And we, Dave Roll, spent a day on a deer hunt with them and a day on a pheasant hunt. Unfortunately, nobody shot a deer, but they had a great time. But it's one of a number of programs. There are others in the state and in the country that offer opportunities for veterans to get outdoors and to, you know, to enjoy outdoor recreation, but also the friendship and the relationships that come from doing things with other people who've had your experience, other like-minded individuals. And that was the gist of that story.
Yeah. And as we look at the season this year, of course, you always have a forecast, and you've got, you break it up. It's broken up into four quarters: northern, yep, northeast, southern, and west central, I think, are the ones.
Yep.
And actually, I guess the milder winters of moderate winter, I guess we could say, played a role in the outlook for the season.
The outlook is very positive. I believe Iron County was the only county that had a severe winter, and they're used to it up there. That's the Lake Superior snow belt. We got plenty of snow up in Bayfield County, but a couple of deer that, one in particular, John was watching on trail camera, who shows up only at night, apparently made it through the winter because he's back. And so, judging from our limited experience, there was survival, at least in our area. But the biologists around the state have said that, in general, the deer herd looks healthy. Numbers look good. There are plenty of antlerless harvest authorizations, in other words, doe tags. And Dave Roll and I, he said, boy, I wish they could change that back to doe tags because it's a lot easier for me to say, you know, if I have to say it four times in a paragraph talking about, you know, about the hunt. But the hunting outlook is good. I think it's going to be more dependent on weather than anything else. The rut is on right now. As anyone who's been driving knows, I almost hit the second buck of my season a couple nights ago, coming back from West Bend, a nice 8 or 10 pointer. Narrowly missed him. And about a month ago, I hit a smaller buck, and he's in the freezer. In fact, in the long version of the show that you didn't see, Larry, we've got a little clip with me and that deer and my battered Explorer, which is now in the body shop. Yeah. We took advantage of it. You know, I hit him on the way north, and I called Dave, and I said, you know, let's do something with this. So we did.
Well, and we haven't covered, you've got that whole section on butchery, and certainly yep. we haven't covered it all for sure, but let's go back and tell people where they can see this year's video.
Yep. Okay. Well, Bally Sports Wisconsin and Bally Sports North will air it after the college hockey game tomorrow night, Thursday night, at about 9:30, whenever the game ends. And then it will repeat several times in the next couple of days on both of those stations. Milwaukee PBS will air it tomorrow night at 9 and Saturday the 12th at 9 a.m., and Wisconsin community media stations will air it various times throughout the month of November. We are getting the show to them this afternoon yet. They will have the longer version of the show, which is the one that's on Bally Sports. And the entire show will be, it isn't there yet, but it will be on the Deer Hunt Wisconsin YouTube channel, which is Deer Hunt Wisconsin, all run together as one word. And if you can't find that, go to the Deer Hunt WI Facebook page. That's where all that information will be.
Dan, it's always a pleasure. Thank you so much for taking time to be with us today. I really appreciate it, and good luck with your deer hunt this year.
Well, thank you, Larry, and good luck to you and to all your listeners. And, folks, I hope you enjoy the show and hope you have a safe season.
Dan Small, host and producer of the TV show Outdoor Wisconsin, and he also does outdoor radio with Dan Small. And, of course, for many a year, he's been producing Deer Hunt Wisconsin each year. And he's got another good video for you this year. So always fun talking with Dan. And we'll get him back, and I'm sure we'll be doing this again. Another person I always like talking to is Stan Temple, and he's back to talk with us about phenology and the 2023 Wisconsin Phenology Calendar from the Aldo Leopold Foundation. That next. I'm Larry Mueller for the Ideas Network.